Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to my ham,
Thank you, and...
Ahoy to my cheese, Jack.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just doing slightly shortened versions of each other's names.
Are we a ham and cheese sandwich?
If you're pineapple, Mike needs a holiday.
I'm tomato. Ham, cheese, and tomato.
No, this used to have some class about it, this game. It used to be like famous. It used to be like famous astronomers. Now it's just things you might put in a sandwich.
Mike. Just hold up fingers out of 10 of how hard it was to get that one this week.
That's toughy.
3.
3. Well, even 3 is generous. I suppose there's parts of him going, oh, okay, it's down to lettuce, cheese and peanut butter. You're out. We're going to keep cheese. Moving through to the semi-final, we've got tomato versus alfalfa versus salami.
Or he could have literally just been eating breakfast and thought, I haven't got one yet. What's in my hand? Day.
Oh, we're doing the podcast today. We've got Cheerios, milk and spoon.
Do we,
that might be found in a bowl.
Mike, can we make a guarantee that next week's better?
A challenging.
Yeah, it wasn't a high bar. To be honest, he's giving me the thumbs up. But to be honest, that's not a high bar. Ahoy also to Damien in New York, who used a very easy-to-use system, hamishnetty.com, to upload what he's been up to.
A website.
Ahoy, gents. I am currently in New York City on the corner of Columbus and 77th Street and was walking past a little street vendor. And what do I see but a bucket of Honey Crisp apples. So I thought I'd give you a live sound of me eating a Honey Crisp. Get ready for it.
That's baked.
Delicious. Thanks, boys.
Gee, how's the audio quality on that?
Yeah, that was good.
You walking around with a shotgun mic? Professional level.
That's quite sensory, wasn't it? In fact, it did remind me, did you get a lot of emails this week on your side of the fence?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been going for a little bit. There's a new apple.
It's called the Rev Love Apple, Jack.
Red Australia, on the... In Australia or you got to go
Australia.
Overseas?
Australia.
Adelaide, grown only in the Adelaide Hills. Mm. It's red on the inside as well as the outside.
So feels like if it was green, it would feel like some Paddy's Day apple. But, you know, it feels like something you do for promotional
it does.
Reasons.
So it's so similar to the red that you don't know where skin ends and the flesh starts?
No.
It's full skin apple. Wow.
No.
Like the apple version of all kit, no cat.
Yeah. Just,
all skin, no filling.
No. You could definitely see the difference, different shades, different texture. But anyway, it's not our place to talk about apples. We really, obviously,
if
we think
stuff.
This is worth pod worth, we'll get on the Appleist.
We'll get on the professional. I would say that if there was ever like a genetic scientist or something that had like an allure about him, like, you know, Damien, he's the best. Like he can make anything. Mm. That's what you'd throw at him. Like full skin apple.
A full skin apple.
That would be the biggest challenge. That would be the hardest challenge for an apple scientist, I reckon.
Yeah, but it's also not a great outcome.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's more of a trick apple. It's it's not for flavour-based reasons. It's just to show you can do it.
Yep.
No, it's not a prank. I suppose it is a prank. It's just a high difficulty apple to make.
Hey, we've got to talk about we've got to not talk about something off the top of the show this week.
We do.
And, Jack, it'd be fair to say that... Within your household, where are worry levels at? Hold it up. Hold up fingers out of 10.
Yeah, we're getting close to the top. I'm holding up 9 fingers.
Yes.
It's the guy we're not allowed to talk about who helps me, my wife, and her entire family travel in their class better than economy.
At 1951 prices.
yeah, exactly.
Like prices never seen before since they offered you like plain branded cigarettes on the plane.
Yes.
I think what's happened is since you've released the t-shirt, letting people know that they shouldn't speak about him.
Helping you?
I'm so surprised anxiety levels have gone up. This is the exact opposite.
Of what we'd hoped to achieve. Yeah.
I personally found the, just anecdotally, mentions of him have gone skyrocketed.
Oh, that is a big shock. That does not make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That doesn't track at all with the with what you would expect from a normal propaganda campaign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack reached out to us this week and said, hey, guys, funds.
Jack actually asked a question, which is maybe guffaw, because I was like, I've never thought. He goes, what if it's having the opposite effect? To be kidding. People buying, I will not mention Mr. Ralph, and we'll try not to mention him ever again. Hmm. That T-shirt, you are going to see a slight blip. You're going to see a slight blip in mentions. Mm. Whilst the notion of taking the pledge of silence flies around the country and really takes hold. But then after that, you will get, the silence will be deafening. Deafening, yes. Jack. Isn't a small murmur, and I think that's all we're looking at here, a murmur. Mm. Isn't a murmur a small price to pay for eternal silence?
Yeah, we are looking forward to the silence. I can tell you that. Everybody in the family is very much looking forward to the silence.
I would just say, get more T-shirts out there.
This is the first time you've seen it, Jack. I will never mention Mr. Ralph. You can see how tasteful we've been. We've actually printed.
It's actually a very clever.
It's almost
way to
invisible.
On the inside.
Yeah,
we've
it's
printed
almost
it
invisible.
On the inside, so you can't actually see it that clearly.
It is very subtle. I can only go off what my feelings during the week has been an increase in mentions.
That's a murmur so blip. Strange. You are going to get some murmur blips.
Yes. Well, people, I mean, head to hamishjourney.com if you want to obviously make the pledge.
And what this actually tells me is people need to pledge harder. I mean, there's a very, very limited run of these T-shirts. I think about half are gone.
We definitely aren't going to make any more off.
Jack's in-laws are down at the factory laying into the machine with crowbars.
And getting a sense from Jack's wife, we should put a stop to the I will never mention Mr. Ralph pin that we'd planned to produce.
Hats are scrapped, the hats are out, the pins are out.
I didn't mean to be a wet blanket for
we are
a whole
hearing
line
you, Jack.
Of merchandise, but I will say
that I believe in the good this merchandise can do. Can I just say that, Jack? I'm shocked to hear about the murmurings, but I say we double down.
What have been your own personal experiences this week after releasing the merchandise? Do you feel there's been an increase in mentions of Mr. R?
An increase in pledges, not to.
Yeah, I think they've been. We've had a lot of people stop us in the street gleefully letting us know that Mr. R will... they have to mention... people have said there's going to be some slight early mentioning before some severe long-term no mentioning.
Okay. People say that to you. There'll be a slight upturn in minor mentions before silence.
I just had someone walk up to me in the street and do this. Shh.
That's better.
Hamishnanny.com. It's the bad news is it's probably our best T-shirt to date. I would say
really
very
good.
Very comfy. But
I will say this for the lucky people that get their hands on one. Mm. Yes, it might be disappointing if you don't get one, but if you do see someone wearing one, I would like it to be universal amongst Hamish and Andy listeners that you just mime the zipping of the mouth shut to whoever's.
Yes.
And it could be a nice way just to let people know that their T-shirt's doing its job.
And to give you a bit of comfort, Jack, we had a lot of people that had gone to the website, checked it out, and they were leaving audio messages about their pledge.
Okay.
And there was one in particular at the end, which I think will absolutely put your mind at ease.
Ahoy, Hamish, Andy, and Jack. This is Madeline from the US. I went to order my family our Mr. Ralph shirts, but I was disappointed to see they don't come in children's sizes. My 8-month-old and 2-year-old listen to the podcast when we're in the car, and I wanted us all to take the pledge to never mention Mr. Ralph together.
It's Damien messaging in here from the United States of America. If you gentlemen love to ship one out to me, I'd be happy to don it. Maybe head to LaGuardia or JFK. See if anyone's got any questions about the tea. I'd, of course, try and diffuse any questions sent my way.
Tim here. I pledge to never mention Mr. Ralph at home. Mm-hmm. I pledge to never mention Mr. Ralph at the workplace.
Right.
I pledge to never mention Mr. Ralph to all my friends, of which there are many.
Good. Ahoy, boys. We have a gossip group chat and we've all taken the pledge not to mention Mr. Ralph. Right. Kelly, Charmaine, and Michelle are all in on it.
Lovely. Hello, boys. Number 6. It's the actual Mr. Ralph here. Or should I say the actual... Mr. Blank, so got the T-shirt, think it's a great idea. I think we keep the chat right down. Wouldn't want to see the old weasel loophole closed on our favourite weasel. I'll wear the T-shirt proudly, but I'll get out a Sharpie and redact all my IDs and, you know, you'll never never hear me mentioning my name again, apart from right now, which is the real Mr. Ralph. Signing off, ta-ta.
That man has had more people impersonate him than Donald Trump.
and we'll never know if it got close. Someone out there could have nailed it, and we'll never know.
HamishNandy.com, please make the pledge. We see how serious this is to Jack and his family. We're no more mucking around.
No, man. No, we don't even need to mention who the T-shirt's about. We all know the job it's going to do. I think from now it just moves into the realm of the T-shirt does the heavy lifting, and you will see Jack deafening silence.
The murmur period is close to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. You'll hear a few peeps, and then that'll be it. Ando, not only did the mandated break obviously upset you over summer, but many other instances of things that would upset you continued to flood inboxes. And so when I was allowed to do work as the mandated break ended, my God, was I treated to a surprise and a bounty. Let's do this.
Everything is neat and practical. Because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
Good question, Haim. What if it wasn't? And we'll find out today as we continue to upset Ando. Jack, you said you had a query.
Oh, I was surprised to see. I was a guest of Andy Lee's beach house at the end of February. And I was surprised to see still hanging.
I wasn't there, by the way. Like, I didn't invite him down. He asked whether he could use the house.
Oh, no, I know exactly what would have happened.
Fantasy football friends. I think 12 of them came down. Yeah.
Jack, was this... Can I... Right. So it was you and your fantasy football league.
It was the whole league, yeah.
The whole league. Whole league start of year party at Andy's beach house. Yeah,
exactly. Because it's interesting, because I said to Jack... This is interesting. Because I said to Jack, hey... If you and Bianca ever want to get away with Gordy for a lovely family little time.
That's about the amount of people you would offer a house to.
I know it's been a busy year, obviously, with Breakfast Radio and Gordy growing up.
What a mate.
It'd be great. And he goes, that'd be great. I will take you up on that. A few weeks later, text message. Can I have my fantasy football ring? I think it started with, I will take you up on that offer.
I'll take you up on part of it. I'll be there. And I wonder if I could just rotate Bianca out for 11 guys.
No, thank you. We had a great time, so thank you for having us.
This sounds like it's football. Instead of a card. What did Jack say in the thank you card, Ando?
Is there a card, Jack?
There wasn't a card, only because when we got down there, there seemed to be already a gift from maybe a previous person you had in there sitting on the dining table.
What a tutu.
So I thought,
someone else has brought a gift to the wedding. Do I still give the toaster or can I take that back?
It just looked like last thing I want Andy to do is like have a long week, come down to his beach house and there's gifts everywhere.
Oh, that'd be so annoying.
What a mate. What a gift shield. Gift shielding.
Thank
the
you for
kindest
that.
Thing a friend can
very
do.
Very considerate of you.
He's quite the sell.
Yeah. Anyway, this was meant to be me grilling back the other way, not me putting myself in the headlights. But what I did see at Andy's beach house above the fireplace were stockings, Christmas stockings hanging up there 2 months February. After Christmas.
Yeah, we go quite late with that kind of gear. I just got rid of the Christmas tree before you arrived, actually. Anytime that Taylor Swift song comes on, that she says we can leave the Christmas lights up through January, Beck always goes, oh, let's leave. Like, I think she's such a Swiftie.
It's a directive from Taylor.
It's a directive we've been on.
She hasn't told us to take them down yet. Honey, it's June. The tree's dead. Yeah. Wait till
exactly.
Taylor. She's going to release a song soon that will have further instructions.
I think that's the vibe. Beck, whenever I say, should we put these away, Beck's going... No.
Yes.
No,
not yet. Any moment now, just refreshing Spotify, refreshing Spotify, refreshing Spotify.
So, yes, it does bother me. It does irk me. It does irk me. But
I would say, though, as a net effect there, bringing that topic up, I don't think you've walked away from this skirmish having landed the most blows.
I think you're right.
Because I think myself and the listeners have delighted in knowing that you've treated 11 of the boys to Ando's house, and the one gift you gave him was the absence of gift clutter. Was this a start of very early to go start of season, or was this a reward for the last season?
No, this is the most important part of fantasy, doing the actual draft. So getting everybody into the same room, look at a big screen. Yeah.
I don't do fantasy. I don't do fantasy football, but is February early to go for the draft?
No, not really. It's only a couple of weeks out from the round one.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's good for me to know Andy's feeling about, I was probably taking liberties asking that because there was a lot of talk of, let's make this an annual event.
Hey,
as long as you don't bring a gift.
Is it just me, or is this completely free weekend in a beach house? Pretty good. Make it weekly. I mean, it's no skin off anyone else except Andy's nose.
Certainly, oh boy, no skin off the gift shops in the local area.
Oh, I'll do the gift this week, guys. Gift, of course, mate. Ensuring the kitchen table remains completely empty.
Wow. Oh, well, yeah.
We found a few things that might have irked Andy, but it ain't the stocking. All right, let's kick it off. All right. Danielle, thanks for holding on through that. What a treat for you, though. Danielle, have you got something to upset Andy?
Ahoy, boys. Yes, I do. So in my office, we hot desk, and every desk has two screens set up. So we just plug in our laptops and use the two screens. The second screen can either be swiveled to portrait or landscape, whatever you prefer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a coworker who every time she docks in, her settings on her laptop are for a landscape screen.
No.
If the screen is portrait, rather than just swivel it, she just works on a sideways screen.
No. Oh, that's
so hard to even maneuver a mouse on a screen like that because you're not used to the direction that it's going.
You get used to it. I mean, but who's got the time to get behind there and, like, I assume that changing the screen orientation would be a lot of rejigging.
No. It would just be one little screw at the back.
So you're going to get behind the screen.
Just have to turn it.
Yeah. Seems like she's doing all right with it. What does she say?
Awful. Danielle, that is awful. I'd probably come in early and do it for her. I think I couldn't sit in the office environment watching her do that all day.
I would love to be your boss in a situation like this. It's probably best that we ended up being like mates and co-workers.
Yes.
Rather than to be your boss, because I would deploy you two next to each other all the time. And then I'd invite other bosses over to go watch this.
This guy gets... Wonderful. Thank you, Danielle. Yeah, peri, peri hot, that one. You're for great. An upset Andy. Well, great way to kick it off.
Kim, have you got something to upset Andy?
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Kim.
So our family eats a lot of frozen berries. So I buy those big 1 kilo bags that have the very convenient perforated top that you can just tear off. Yes, and
that is nice.
They're also blessed with the resealable top that you just press shut.
I know exactly the one.
Yes, well, my wonderfully fast and loose husband, he never bothers to tear off that convenient perforated top. Instead, he just gets the scissors, cuts the corner off the bottom of the packet, gets what he needs, folds the packet over itself, and back into the freezer it goes. I come along.
You open it up.
The freezer, grab the bag out, assume it's sealed at the top, as it normally would.
Very delightful.
And a kilo of berries fall over the floor. They roll under the fridge forever, and the kids go wild.
That is
long may it rain. That long may it rain berries.
Have you had a discussion with him? I'd be definitely.
Well, I actually did this morning, and he told me, you think that's bad? You should see the one that's in the freezer at the moment. I didn't even get the scissors. I just tore it open with my teeth.
That's what I was going to say. I'm surprised he's using the scissors because I get in trouble for tearing at all the bags that do have the resealable system. But whether it's fish fingers or like hash browns or any of that, whatever that plastic is that encases frozen stuff, there's a certain breed of us, fast and loosies, that quite enjoys the ability we have to tear it wide open.
As soon as the resealable function is rendered useless.
Here we go. Sorry, Dad.
It'll travel straight into a Tupperware container and not
my household.
Yeah, Andy, one of the great crimes of Andy's house, and bear this in mind for when you're down there this weekend, Jack, with the boys, is a non-sealed sealable. Yeah. That's got to be, yeah, that's right up there. The king of great.
Gosh, love two a, love for a two. From Kim to Campbell. Ahoy, Campbell.
Ahoy, Campbell.
Ahoy, lads. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Very
mate.
Good, mate. What have you got to upset, Ando?
Look, it pains me to bring this to the table because I think Andy and I are kindred spirits in this regard. I'm a big fan of order and predictability.
Good,
but, it's a real shame, but in my in-laws' house in their kitchen, even though they do have a bin which is mounted to the inside of a cupboard door, their preference is to use an open plastic bag, which they situate adjacent to the stovetop, and just put their rubbish in the desk.
Yeah, I've seen this happen before. I've got to
ask Campbell, is that a one-off, like when you're like shelling prawns or something that's going to stink out the bin and you're using that as a temp bin, which I will often do?
I wish I am. It's a permanent fixture. And
well, Kate, I get it. I mean, the joy of having the benchtop bin, though, not having to open shut with the bins, I can see how that would get tiring. Kate.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Kate.
Ahoy to you. Gusto to you, Kate. What have
Much
you got to
gusto.
Upset, Andy?
So I do a lot of harvest work, so we're constantly fueling stuff up, you know.
Yep.
You're tiring. And this hates me. I'm a bit like Andy, I must say. And, you know, like the typical yellow nozzle that it comes with jerry cans, you know, for the easy pour, spill-free.
Yep.
One of the guys I work for just fast and loose, doesn't use it, aims for the hole, and most of it just goes all over everything. Most of it does not make it into the motor. And like,
I've been guilty of that.
All over you all day.
Yep, I've been guilty of that myself because you have to get your finger in to pull that nozzle out of the jerry can. Mm. And there's a bit of you goes, to bend all the way down there and get that, I'll probably just nail it. I'll probably just bullseye this. And then there is the slosh effect.
See, I have a
can, unfortunately.
Even if I get a little few drips coming out of my car.
Okay, I didn't know where we were going with that.
I have
asked the doctors to install a nozzle.
Hell, you think about it. I'm disappointed
like
myself.
Same as you're thinking with the retractable straw.
I'm disappointed with myself if there's any petrol that misses the like from out of the car.
Yeah, a fuel drip, and that's off like 60 litres.
Yes, and then my dad's always taught me to go and get the watering can, replace the tank cap on, and then just splash some water over it to move. I don't know. Now I've said it out loud. I think it's just to wash away the petrol from the side of the tank cap.
For safety?
I guess.
Probably aesthetics, knowing you and Mick. But anyway, I fully appreciate gambling on a bullseye.
Great one, no. Kate. That's enough for me.
Enough of this. And TB to be continued for you, Jack, on the beach house gear.
Haim, a lot of people have been writing in trying to help us with our quest to get a show dollar coin. Don't want to be confused to the fact that you and I want our mugs on a dollar coin.
No, no, no.
The show, we celebrate dollars more than any other show in the world, I'd say, because if you see us in the flesh, we'll give you one.
It's literally our currency as well as Australia's.
So it is a big ask.
Yeah, it is a big ask to have the federal mint you a coin.
Mint you a coin that we want as part of Australia's currency. But we've started this journey so much so that I thought of a little open for it.
No. I need a dollar, 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 that's
what I need. Hey, hey. When you hear that, you know there's some coin updates coming. Haim, a quick one.
Can I just say, Ando, let's not forget, you gave us 2 years to achieve this.
Yep.
So there's no rush here, my friend.
No rush.
I'm quite amazed at the level of, like, that we keep coming back to it. It's such true. A petering at the moment. Like, it's blowing my mind. I mean, we could have we could take a sabbatical on this thing.
We could, but at the moment, Haim, this is important. We've got to, I think if we get enough hooks in the water, the moment we're just working out what pond to fish in.
Yep.
And then we won't talk about it for a long time afterwards, when the admin kicks in and the boring stuff. Anyway, this one came in from Will. He says, I work for a company that creates branded prepaid Visa cards, and I propose the creation of the People's Visa Card. I know it's not a dollar, but it's accepted everywhere. Visa accepted. Fellow VIP podcasters can carry a physical or digital version of the People's Visa Card anywhere. Once spent, the card instantly becomes a token of no value. P.S. All four Wiggles are still alive and they're on a coin, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Yep.
P.P.S. I'm not authorised to speak on behalf of the company that I've just talked about.
We appreciate that.
Look, so we don't want that. Thank you.
We don't want. We already have the loyalty card, which is a far more valuable. Talk about accepted everywhere, mate.
Yeah.
I dare say, now I don't have the data, but I dare say the loyalty card's accepted a few more places than Visa. I dare say it.
I dare say. No, we don't want to go down that path. We still want to go to the Royal Australian Mint and, of course, get the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, to sign off on our design to have a commemorative coin that acts as legal tender. We comment, I think you had the idea, Ham, of trying to get Chalmers 4:55 in the car park on his way to
Friday
the car
afternoon.
Friday, yeah, to get him to sign off.
Yep. At Parliament, I assume he works at Parliament House in Canberra, and we just grab him in the car park there. I still like that idea a lot because, as we discussed, his assistant is called Andrew Lee.
Yes.
And so we'll be able to say, and this is all, by the way, Andrew Lee is completely fine with this. We already talked to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by grabbing him in the car park, you don't mean kidnap him, just like tap him on the shoulder.
No, just a quick, hey.
It's a good question, Jack, because no, it's not a hit.
If you didn't hear last week, then that could have sounded like we'll grab him in the car park as he's leaving work.
Forearm across the throat. Yep.
Hold him hostage until he gives us a coin.
Us very much dressed as Parliament House staffers and possibly with a golf bag or something, just acting as if we're also leaving on a Friday afternoon and looking forward to enjoying the weekend and very much in that tone of like, who doesn't love ticking something off on a Friday? Mm.
Yes.
Going into the weekend with an empty plate.
You've probably been to Canberra more than Jack and I, Ham.
Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks ago.
Do you have another trip planned? Like, I just thought, I'll come and meet you there if we want to try and get this
right.
Done.
Well, no. I mean, we were there to pick up the kittens. It was the halfway point between our house and the breeders.
Okay.
We sort of did a cat deal in the car park of a hotel.
Okay, this one comes in from Atya. She says, I've worked around the government for a few years. And the best time to harass a member of parliament is just prior to their seat being up for election.
Yes.
They will do anything.
Absolutely.
To get votes. Mm.
And case in point, Kevin Rudd taking his shoes off for no reason the day before the election because he noticed you were barefoot. Day before the federal election, he looked at you and went, ooh, that's not something you see every day, a barefoot man in the studio. And he took his shoes off and nodded to his press photographer. Get this.
He left his socks on though, so it was a bit...
It just showed you he just wasn't...
He's doing anything.
Just trapped between, I'm doing some stuff, and also, God, I'm tired. Please, like whatever, it's going to happen tomorrow. Let's see how we go.
She says this will be on or before September 25th next year, since you're playing the long game.
It's still within the window. Yep.
Yes. With this one, I'd start the process, get Jim's approval around then is the best time. Okay, that's fine. Jock Lucas has written in, he wants to get at it a bit quicker than Natya. He says, gentlemen, in relation to getting your faces on an actual coin, not that we want, we just want two people bowing, one representing a deep bow, Hamish, one representing a bow that's great but not as deep, Andy, and a weasel, Jack. And he says, on an actual coin, I often attend the same park run as our treasurer, Mr. Chalmers.
Now we're talking.
He's quick.
What's his 5K time?
Well, he doesn't list that.
Well, that park run is a 5K. They're held every week. I think it's every Saturday morning all over Australia. It's like a group 5K. I just thought he might be able to give us a pace there that we need to move at or have a relay system where I would run the first K and a half and you come out of the bushes, run the second K and a half and Jack, you bring it home if we don't think we could do 5K each.
That's a good call. He writes, he's quick, but not quick enough. He's normally quite keen to chat as well. And I've spoken to him a few times.
Wouldn't it be brilliant if he was just jogging along? Like again, say Ando, we either go in disguise or we just hope he doesn't know us. Jogging along and I think the opening line would be, gee, Jim, mate,
How was that dollar for 100 years of scouts? Oh, my God. You went across that. You went across that, were you? Or just name one of the other commemorative coins. That, like, mate, you went across the Wiggles coin, were you? What's going on there? I thought they had to be dead to be on the coin. Or just something like that. And him go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm looking to reinvigorate the market with a good new one. I mean,
that's the best entry we've
had. That would be the dream scenario.
He's also said, next time I'll see him, I'll see if I can catch him out of breath. We'll keep you updated. I don't know why that helps.
See, I think I'd be guessing here, but it might be a situation where Jim Chalmers might have asthma. And if we could get his Ventolin, we could get him to agree in principle before giving his Ventolin back. Now, I know that is straying into an area we're not morally comfortable with. But it's very grey. That's a grey area. Okay, that's not us. We're not doing anything to him. We're just slightly withholding his reliever. But I think that would be the dream scenario, wouldn't it? Again, if you read the book The Secret, you have to say it out loud before it can happen. That's how I understand the magic to work. We go for a jog with Jim, bring up the coin stuff. You know, what were they thinking doing the Vegemite one? Come on. Mm. You know, we all love Vegemite, but surely there's something a bit more technology-focused we could do.
You know, that's great, Ham. Would we, if we do go on the park run and we favour that over catching you at the end of the day, do you think we should sidle up alongside him separately?
Yes.
And all, like, so he's like, oh, gee, a lot of people want this coin.
Yeah. To talk about our coin?
Yeah. Or, so to him, it seems like, wow, I bumped into three different people today talking about that coin.
Six if we bring wigs. Do you reckon? Yeah. We just do a rotating three-man weave.
Yeah.
So one like little, chats to him.
Like a Peloton. A bike.
Exactly. Someone goes exactly. But he's always at the front. Yeah. And we ride up. We just jog up in our new wigs and keep the chat up.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think we should have a moment where two of us run up alongside him and we have a private conversation. This is with brand new.
Really good. That's
this is
really
with
good.
Brand new long blonde wigs on about, hey, do you hear they're doing the Hamish and Andy coin? And we drop back. Then another man goes up solo. Jim. What's all this we're hearing about the Hamish? What's the matter, Jim? Need your Ventolin? No, again, we don't. That's not the scenario we want. We want him to breathe easily and say yes with full breath. Did you guys see June 2?
Didn't see June 1.
Haven't seen either.
Yeah, me neither. Hamish and Andy podcast for all your up to the minute Oscars season movie facts. I did see a bit of June 1 and I didn't dislike it. I think it must have been a plane or something because I did fade out. Mm. It wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't, you know. People
wasn't nominated for Best Picture?
No, people are loving it. Yeah, I think June 2.
Hey, people love it, yeah.
People love it. I'm June from way back. My brother had the video game of June in like 1995 and I would sit and watch him. Harvest
Is it
spice.
A video game adaptation?
It's a book. It was like a fantasy book. Oh. And there was a video game where you'd have to harvest spice and, you know, build your base and attack the other spice harvesters.
Yep.
And it was great stuff. And I was happy with, even if that had been the most we ever saw of the Dune universe, I would have been happy with that.
Content.
Watching Locke do well. The point is, Dune 2, the reason I wanted to bring up Dune 2 is that's been a great example of a sequel doing well, right? Mm-hmm. There's a sequel in the works or that's floating around that I've become aware of that I would like to endorse.
Mm. You're going to endorse it?
I'm going to endorse it. I was given this book as a joke by our good friend Ryan Shelton, right, for my birthday last year because Ryan and I loved this movie when we were in like year 11 at high school. So we're talking kind of mid to late 90s here. He gives me the novel of Heat 2. For those that don't remember Heat, Pacino and De Niro together for the first time. It was a heist movie. It was a bank heist movie. Like I'm going to say,
you loved it so much.
Loved it.
I loved it so much.
I haven't seen Heat either.
I haven't seen it either. Awesome. But Hamish used to talk about it at university all the time.
I don't know. Look, we had other stuff to discuss, mostly all the babes that I was just trying to dodge. They're like, oh, you're the Heat guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's me, guys. Look, it was a great heist movie. great heist movie. Val Kilmer and De Niro and a couple of others. They're the bank robbers. Pacino is the cop trying to stop him take down the score.
From memory, it's not really a spoiler. Isn't like the final scene like everyone kills everybody and it's just like...
That's why I laughed when Rye gave me heat too, because I was like, what's this about? Like De Niro, he gets killed. Yeah. And like the bank robbers, they get shot to pieces.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
Well, I was like, this is funny to own, but it's like 400 pages. So yeah. I'm like, man, I'm not, you know, of all, I've got a lot of books sitting on the books on the shelf, like waiting to be read.
Mm. Yeah.
And look, I picked up Heat as a joke to read a few pages, just mostly so I could take a photo and send it to Ryan, just to be like, you know, sitting in the armchair, look at this, just quiet night reading Heat 2. I got quite into it. And I now sit before you as a member of the Hamish and Andy Book Club. One of the only books I've completed this year is Heat 2. I got so sucked into it. In 2 weeks, I read about 400 pages of Heat 2. Look, it's not the greatest book I've ever read, but I've got to be one of the only people that has read Heat 2. At least I thought that. And then I was actually at one of like Rudy's friends' houses and her dad's got Heat 2. I was like, Steph, I said, we've got to be the only two guys I know that have got Heat 2. And he's like, he goes, mate, I loved Heat. And we're at the same age. So I was like, oh, mate, who didn't love Heat? Like, what a heist movie. And then I was telling our mate Tim Bartley. I go, hey, Rye gave me this. I forgot to tell you, like, Rye gave me this funny book for my birthday. Tim goes, he gave it to me. Have you read it? And went, I actually have finished it. And he went, yeah, me too.
So
he's read it as well. There is a movement out there of,
underground, I would say,
yeah, men aged 35 to 45 who are reading and or have read Heat 2.
I've never read a sequel to a movie in book form. So is it a book?
I mean, it's not a huge genre.
Is it did the original have a book?
I don't think so. It didn't feel like it, did it? Like it would have had a script. You certainly got the feeling when you watched the movie that there was a plan to the movie.
No, I think at home I'm like you. I've got enough books lining up that Heat 2 probably won't push its way in.
It was a jump because the book I was coming from was recommended by my wife, who reads like very kind of like dense, like well-written fiction. And so I'm reading this like very like Pulitzer Prize winning stuff. And then bang, I'm into the world of Hannah, Detective Hannah and Neil McCauley and Heat 2, baby. The seedy underworld of LA, Vegas and Chicago. Oh, there you go, Michael Mann's got this some buzz. You can see Andy's straight off to buy the book.
Hey, plenty of these have come in over the government-mandated break. And look, I've sifted through a few. There's a few that have got no case to answer for, but there's one that definitely needs a review from the panel of three.
Oh, we're sleuthing.
This sounds like this, sounds like this, sounds like this. If this sounds like that, I'm your man.
Andy Lee, Song Sleuth.
This is where, Ando, you compare songs to go, hey, have you borrowed too much? For example, the Song Sleuth opener, the Suzanne jingle.
Yes, exactly. lot of people sending in Beyonce, her new song, a new hit.
The cowboy one, the Western one.
The Western one, saying it sounds a lot like the opening titles music of a Canadian children's TV show. It doesn't. They've both got this slightly Western feels. So please.
Maybe it's the feeling you get when you hear someone playing Western music in a situation you weren't expecting.
Yes, I think that's what it is. So thank you. We've looked at it.
Cease and desist, no. Beyonce. I was going to say it would take a lot for me to convict Queen Bee.
Yes, no case to answer for. Haim, it's a tough one to bring up. It's the GWS Giants theme song.
A good song.
Very good song.
Yes, for people who are unaware, it launched in 2012.
But an improbably good song too, because the chances of being a new football club, like most footy songs are bad, but everyone's been dead for over 100 years that wrote them, so you can't really find the culprit. So to do a new one, you know you're putting yourself in the firing line.
And for our overseas listeners, definitely one of the weirder things that that's about Australian rules football. A lot of my American friends, when they come out, we play a real old-timey song when they run onto the field.
With changed lyrics. Like I've explained it, like Weird Al Yankovic. You know, like we do that for our sports teams.
Yes, and then when they win, they get the chance to play their song again, and everyone listens to it and sings along. Yes, grown professional sports.
Because, that's not an American thing, is it?
No.
Do they have school songs in America? Like, you know, a lot of schools have a school song. Because you reckon it's come from that tradition of having a school song? Like, maybe that's like an English thing.
And then, I was driving past my school the other day and started singing a song, a school song to Bev.
Yeah, but you love your school.
She didn't love it.
Yeah.
I said, wait for this bit, because there was a bit in the song that I thought was pretty cool.
Wait for the drop. Wait for the organ.
I bet this wasn't even a driving pass. Like you drove to the school just in the song.
How come Google Maps said it was a 7-minute drive and been in the car for 40 minutes?
Anyway, she said to me, do you reckon any school had a banger?
Yeah, my kids' school has a pretty good one because they're a new school. Again, like GWS, they've only been around for 20 years.
Right.
And it has kind of Broadway overtones.
Okay.
It's upbeat, for sure.
HamishNanny.com then, if you think your school has a banger.
I'm not saying it's a banger, but I am saying it's up there.
That's okay. I would love to hear that one. But flick them in. If we feel that I'd love to see the standard. Where's the top end of school songs?
I won't sing it. Exactly. But I will say it contains a scripted yeah. Like it has a yeah.
Really?
Which you don't get in a lot of school songs. No, like they're usually like very slow and quite dreary.
Yes.
So to have a scripted yeah in there, that gives you an idea of like how upbeat we're talking.
Okay. Great. That's something to look forward to. But let's go back to the task at hand. Big sound from the GWS Giants AFL team. You know, that's the feel of it. That's the intro.
It's an umpah feel.
I take you to Kesha with a song called Take It Off.
I understand that there's some, we're following some similar notes, but without the umpah feel,
That's what I thought when I first heard the two intros. But then I thought, nah. Let's push past that and get to the actual verse. Here's the verse for the GWS Giants. There's a big, big sound from the west of the town. Here's Kesha. There's a
place downtown where the freaks will
come around.
Ooh.
And double use of town too.
How are you feeling about that now?
I reckon there might be a common ancestor.
Let me
like a Australopithecus or like something that, you know, predated humans, Homo sapiens.
And they've both borrowed from
just because it's such a, you know, like you hear the GWS song and you're like, there's every chance that you could be like going through the old Soviet Union and this was number one in 1955. And it's just, you know, every chance. And it's just been rejigged.
We sent it to the lab. This is the two mashed together. It's the sound of the mighty giants. It's a hole in the wall. It's a dirty freak for all. In their boots before the giants.
It's not an immediate acquittal, is it?
No.
I think we don't want to see an Australian icon lose to Kesha.
Well, Kesha was 2010. GWS theme song, 2012.
Are the rumours true that they were working on it for 4 years?
Haim, when you say there's maybe a common ancestor, we found this.
We found it, yes. I knew it. Cro-Magnon
man. We found this from 1893.
Really? See, it's just really? Got that feel.
It's like. Called Streets of Cairo by James Thornton.
Okay.
Tell me whether you think this is where they this both could be got the common idea ancestor. From. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I will sing you a song and is this a real song? Very long, but a maiden
sweet and she never would do wrong. Yes. It's a real song, not me at the back.
I thought it was for a second. I was like, this feels like Beast Warm, to be honest.
So I think they are both guilty and ancestors or whoever owns the rights to James Thornton's music. Perhaps it's... No copyright. No,
it would have lapsed.
That's how they've got it. It's lapsed. That's exactly what they've done. They've just gone back to 1800s hot tunes.
Which makes me feel good because the actual writer of the GWS theme song was Harry from the Cat Empire.
Can we also just take a second to tip the hat to the boy that can feel music? I mean, that is... That's quite remarkable, isn't it? I mean, that's bloody good podcasting, to be fair, if we'd have scripted that. For me to be like, oh, what about this? And then you have a song from the 1800s.
Mm.
I mean, like, well put together podcasts, they dream of that. They would script that perfectly. And here I am just chucking it up for free.
what they don't do is reflect on how good their break was.
Yeah, but that just proves that we didn't mean it.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.